Thank you for tuning in to the Livonian Sarah podcast. We apologise for any sound quality issues during this episode. Enjoy episode 74, Fearless, featuring our special guest, Laura Bartlett.
Welcome to episode 74 of the Livonian Sarah podcast. Each week we discuss holistic approaches to weight loss and well-being as we work at improving our own health and wellness. We share our stories about what we've learned through experience and research in the hopes we encourage others wanting to improve their health too. Thank you for joining us. I'm Livoni.
And I'm Sarah. And today's episode is about being fearless. And we have a special guest, Laura Bartlett, joining us. After being harshly rejected on Dragon's Den, Laura, founder and CEO of the House of Coco magazine, went on to turn this, her travel and lifestyle magazine, into a global success. Laura is here to talk with us about overcoming adversity, transforming her health and wellness, taking chances, and what it takes to live fearlessly.
Fearless is a character trait that describes someone who is brave, bold, and unafraid. And a fearless person is not easily intimidated or deterred by challenges, obstacles, or certain danger. Yeah, you still have to be mindful. They're willing to take risks and face their fears head on, even in the face of adversity and uncertainty. Laura, welcome to the podcast and thank you so much for joining us. Before we dive into the episode, Laura, could you give us in a nutshell of who you are and what you do, please?
I am Laura Bartlett. I'm the founder of House of Coco, which is a luxury print travel and lifestyle magazine distributed nationwide across the UK. I've been doing that for the last 10 years. And I'm just someone who's a huge advocate of sobriety and self-love and just loving and living life to the full.
Have you always been quite fearless? That's why, you know, I reached out to you because we wanted to do an episode on fearless and you struck me as someone as being like that. But are you always, you know, like that or have you been?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've just been brought up to fear nothing and just make the most of every single situation and don't be scared of failure and just see the lessons in everything. So, yeah, I feel like fearlessness is just in my DNA.
And is that like the essence of what fearless means to you? If someone had, you know, asked you to sum it up, because I guess it's quite personal, actually, isn't it? Because everyone has a different experience, but is that how you would describe fearless? What would you say to other people?
It's just fearlessness is having the ability to do anything you want without being scared of what the outcome is and just kind of like letting go of the outcome and trusting in the universe that what is meant to be will be. And I've always had that from a really young age, just knowing that this is all part of a bigger plan. And even when I'm going through hardship, I know that there's a lesson in there. Like, what is this trying to teach me? I think that kind of stems back from one of my earliest memories when I was 7 years old. My parents woke me up in the middle of the night and mum sat us on her knee, me and my brother, and she said, Gavin's gone and he's not coming back. And he was my cousin and he was 14 years old and he was playing out with his friend and he was supposed to go home at 1 a.m. And then he phoned my auntie and asked if he could stay out for an extra hour. And in that hour, he fell 50 feet to a roof and he died. So from a young age, I knew tragedy and loss, and it meant that we always lived with this awareness that this is not forever. We have to make the most of every single moment. You know, there's never a night that we went to bed without saying we love each other, and still to this day, as a 37-year-old woman, you know, me and my mum and brother still text each other every single day and say we love each other because we know after obviously losing my dad a few years ago, but it really isn't forever. So I think it was a blessing in disguise, really, all those years ago, because it's made me grow up with a constant state of perspective and awareness that I can kind of get through anything.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a pivotal moment, really.
So, you know, our podcast focuses on losing weight, health and wellness. And I know that you've recently lost, I think, Sarah, you said 50 pounds.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah,
over?
Yeah. Huh?
But I say, not so, me, you, Laura. Not me, just to be clear.
Sarah and I, you know, that's what we're striving to do. But do you think, knowing that, you know, that's what the podcast is about, do you think that people, like that fear stands in the way of people trying to lose weight and get healthy? Do you think that that's something that holds them back?
Yeah, and I think the main reason is we get in life what we believe we are worthy of receiving. So if you don't truly believe you are worthy of having that beautiful, slim, healthy body, then you're always going to sabotage yourself and never have it. So I think if people actually work on their self-belief and their self-discipline and their self-love, then you will realize that you are worthy of having that body that you say you want, but you keep doing things to stop yourself from getting it. And I've lost over 50 pounds now, just dropped like 4 dress sizes. And I was in a really, really dark place after my dad passed away 3 years ago yesterday. After it had been a year, I just was drinking all the time. I was eating all the time. I wasn't suicidal, but I didn't care about waking up each day. I just couldn't see life or a future without my dad. And I just got really, really, really overweight. And I remember it was kind of like Christmas a couple years ago, and I just was struggling to get out of bed. I was just so sluggish and just so low, and still struggling to make it through the day without crying. And I phoned the doctor and I just said, you know, this is how I'm feeling. It's been a year since I lost my dad, and just it's really dark times. And they said that I needed antidepressants. And no judgment to anyone who chooses that route, but it was like a wake-up call, like, this is not who I am. And it was an opportunity for me to realize that nobody's coming to save me but me, and kind of like looked in the mirror, this ridiculously overweight, depressed. I wouldn't say depressed, I was grieving, you know. And I just looked like a shell of myself. But even in that darkness, I still loved myself. And I just still looked in the mirror and thought, oh my God, I need more love now than I've ever needed it before.
Right.
And therefore, I need to give it to myself. And how can I do that? By, you know, I used to think self-love was just loving my body no matter what size it was. But then I thought, if I truly, truly love myself, why wouldn't I want to feed my body with all the healthy foods and give it, you know, forget the food that man made and eat the food that God made. And it just was like a mindset shift and literally turned my entire life around and have a whole different lifestyle, a whole different mindset. I feel like I see the world through new eyes. It's just kind of crazy. And I feel like I want everybody to feel how I feel, because I went from being absolute down but never out.
Yeah. You know? And during that process, did you, I'm sure you have, because this is never a straight line, but have you felt moments of fear or, you know, resistance, or haven't? You've just always just plowed through, have you?
Yeah, and even when my dad passed away, and it was the darkest time ever, even then, we still knew, you know, my mum and my brother, we've all very much grown up with the same thing. We still knew that it was part of a bigger plan that, you know, when my dad passed away, I was really sick at the same time. I'd lost my eyesight temporarily.
Oh.
I was so ill that my mum and brother thought that I was going to die. And at the same time, my dad was in ICU fighting for his life. And so I know, like, I was on the brink of dying. So my mum and dad and my mum and brother had to stay up all night watching me breathing, because they were so scared that I was just not going to wake up in the morning. And my dad passed away, you know, within that 2 weeks. And we have to find gratitude in everything. And we're so grateful that if God or the universe or whatever you want it to be was to look down on our family and take one of us, my dad would always choose for it to be him. The fact that it wasn't me means that I'm still here for a reason. And I refuse to do anything other than just love my life and like squeeze out every little bit of juice.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, what's my purpose? It's just to be the best version of myself, because it then shows other people that they can do that too.
I'd just like to chat a bit about, you know, people listening to this, if they think, oh, I'd like to be more fearless. What do you think that some ways people can become, you know, less fearful or, you know, more fearless?
Yeah, I think as well, first of all, maybe even a lot of people like to think about the worst case scenario. I'm scared of doing this because I might be
right.
X, Y, and Z. And it usually, the number one thing it comes down to tends to be humiliation. And people don't want to be humiliated. People don't want to be seen starting from the bottom. And that all just boils back down to because you care too much what people think. But when you realize that people hardly think of you at all because they're too busy thinking of themselves.
Right. That's so true. Yeah, that's so true.
But yeah. I think as well, it's having this, you have to have self-awareness. I think a lot of people go through life lying to themselves and just, you know, no one's stopping for long enough to just sort of check in and ask, you know, is this my version of success? Is this what makes me happy? Everyone's sort of trying to keep up with the Joneses, but we're starting to realize that the Joneses are depressed, overweight, and anxious. Like, why are we trying to aspire to be like them? So I think define what your version of success is. Even if some people have to think about the worst case scenario, what is the worst that could happen? Well, I'll get humiliated, so what?
Right.
I'll lose my money, so what? I'll fail, so what? You have to see everything as like a lesson, and, or you can just spend your life living in fear and standing on the sidelines and waiting till your deathbed when it's too late and you can't make changes.
Yeah, and then you're full of what ifs. What if I had have tried?
And you know, my dad was only 57 when he passed away, and he left this world having a heart full of love and joy and happiness. He was so content. He loved his life. He was so present in every single moment. He was so happy and joyful every single day. We told each other we loved each other every day without fail. And it means that when he left this world, we at least can say he went with no regret. We have none. He had none. And that just makes life a little bit, it makes it easier to deal with. Whereas a lot of people, they're in the deathbed and we hear these stories and it's like, why are we not learning from them? Where people are on their deathbed and the number one regret that they have is that they wish they lived a life that was true to them. And
right.
It's like, you're still here now, you're alive, you're breathing, it's a new day, it's an opportunity to make a new decision. Like, you're only one decision away from a totally different life. What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
And I think, oh, sorry, Sarah, go on.
It's all right. I was just going to say, and don't you think that some people have this kind of opinion that they tell themselves, it's like, well, that's okay for other people. That's not, I can't do that. That's that barrier, isn't it? They just seem to think that they see people like yourselves living the best version of what you want to be, but somehow there's something that stops them thinking that they can do that for themselves. They sort of see it as, well, that's other people. And you've had adversity as well. You know, you've from Dragon's Den, when you were, you know, given rejection by people that are very dominant, you know, and so you could then feel that that's completely knocked you back. You've stepped back from that and more, you know. So people will experience moments like that themselves on a different scale in a different version. But what would you say to them if they're feeling, number one, if they're feeling that that's someone else and I can't do it, and number two, if they do face those sorts of setbacks, how do they find that within themselves?
I think it's all just down to mindset. Like, I don't say why me, I say try me. You know, the problem that most people have is that they think they shouldn't have any problems at all. And some people come into a chapter of your life, and people might come into where I'm at now, where I'm just constantly high on life. Like, I'm so happy. I didn't know that I could feel this good. And they'll come into this version of me without seeing all the versions that came before and all the things that I've had to overcome. And even myself, now that I've been sober for nearly 2 years, I have this level of clarity that I didn't have before. And I can look back on my entire life and see with such certainty why all those things had to happen, why I had to go through all that adversity and all those failures and learn all those lessons. It meant that I am the version of me that I get to be today, and I could not be more grateful to that. I can look back on the death of my dad being the darkest depth of despair and even be grateful to that. Like, I can look at every single thing. I've escaped abusive relationships, emotionally abusive. I was in a relationship with someone, I ended up in the hospital because he strangled me. And, like, I've been through all these things that other people would see as like stumbling block, but I saw them as stepping stones. Because I knew that this is all part of a bigger plan, and I just have to keep trusting the universe, keep trusting the journey, and just know that it's all for my highest good.
There's a saying that I really like. It's be the victor, not the victim.
Yeah.
Because I think when things happen to you, it's easy just to go, why me, you know? And that's going to keep people where they are. Whereas if you say, nope. Not going to do it to me, universe, and just rise up out of it. And, you know, that takes work, but the alternative sucks, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, so why not be doing things that are working towards your highest good and making you feel good about yourself on a daily basis? But what I've discovered is the kind of the main thing that people struggle with is that they live in their memory of the past. So they're waking up every single day and they're like, oh, here we go, another day. And I'm like, oh, my God, how exciting to wake up for a new day. Anything.
Fresh new day.
it's so, you know, it's limitless. It's so, you know, tied every morning to prepare for magic and miracles, or wake up every day and go, oh, I've got to go do the same thing
again.
Yeah,
ho-hum. Mm.
But the difference is, if you live in the vision of the future, you know, where am I going? What's coming ahead? And start to live in the vision of the future as opposed to the mummy of the past. That's how you wake up every day with excitement. Because you're like, if people could see what I can see, if you could see where I'm going, you would be waking up at 5 o'clock every morning. Mm-hmm. You would be energized all day long every day. Because if you could see what I can see, you wouldn't even want to sleep. You wouldn't want to miss a single second.
Right.
You know, when you live in the vision of the future as opposed to the familiar past, that's when you can start to kind of change your life around.
Well, living in the past keeps you there too, doesn't it?
Yeah, like there's no one there anymore. Like, shut the door, right, keep moving.
Right.
Sorry, people have said to me before, because I've done some things that people have said are crazy, because I've just gone and done them, and they're like, you know, oh, well, how did that even happen? Or it's all right for you. And there's always that little element of resentment's too strong a word, but you know what I'm trying to say, that kind of feeling behind it. Yeah. And every single time I can give them the straight answer of going, because I just did it. There's no other magic in between. Yeah. I either booked the flight, or I made the phone call, or whatever it might be, I just did it. And I was interesting to ask you, you must have done that millions of times. Have you ever looked back on any of those moments and thought, okay, with hindsight, I think I shouldn't have done it, or I would have done it differently? Or do you just absolutely just go, it was what it was and it got me to where I am now?
Yeah, because you can't change it.
Because I know that every single decision that I've made, it was the decision that I wanted to make at that time. Mm-hmm. So I've never made a decision that I don't regret anything. I've always done what felt right at the moment in that moment. Like, I really have always listened to my intuition and like my inner voice and my knowing, and it brought me where I am today. Like, as an example, a few years ago, I was engaged and I was miserable, so I left him. And then I was living in this huge house. It was ridiculous. Like, I had a home gym and multiple bathrooms all by myself. And I just thought, this is not my version of happiness. You know, by society standards, I've made it. But what is, this is not my happiness. So I just laid on my bed in complete silence. And I said out loud by myself, like a crazy person, what would make me happy? And I got this random download out of nowhere that I should move to Los Angeles. This is someone who loves Leeds, has no intentions of ever leaving my city, but out of nowhere, I should move to LA. I went round to my mum and dad's house the same day and I told them I'm moving to LA, and they were like, brilliant, great idea, chase your dreams. And I sold everything that I owned within 2 weeks, and I booked a first class flight to LA on the 10th of August. I had 5 weeks before my flight, and I went back home to my parents' house for the 5 weeks, and it's in that time that my dad passed away. So what were the chances of me having this random life-changing decision where I sell everything I own, so I'm back home with my mum at the time when we needed each other the most? Like, you can't write it. That is fate. Right. That is destiny. It's something bigger than me. And that's why when I get these inspirations and these ideas, I know that I have to act on them, because I know it's part of something more.
Mm-hmm. If ever you get that urge again, talk to me first and let me talk you out of it. I mean, there's great cities in this country. Not LA though.
Oh, I love it. I've been a few times, and I love it. And I will be coming out there this year for sure.
Make sure you let me know. Maybe meet up somewhere or something. But yeah, there's great places here. Anyway, that's not there. So do you share your ambitions and goals with others, or do you keep that to yourself? Because to me, a fearless woman sort of plays her cards kind of close to her chest a bit and doesn't need to, you know, like to talk to other people really about, oh, I want to do this or I want to do that, unless they're like on day three of having to deal with their website and they reach out to Sarah and say, what do you think of
this? Talk
me
down off the edge.
Talk me off the ledge. Yes. Yeah. So, do you just keep that to yourself a bit?
Yeah, I've definitely been through periods where I've done both. So I used to keep things to myself. Then I went through a period where I shared more about what I was working on. And now I'm back very much in the era of, I don't tell anyone anything until it's come to fruition, because other people can block your blessings, like their negative energy. As much as people can say they support you, you don't know what they're saying behind closed doors, and just a little bit of negative energy can stop your blessings. So now I just share things when there's something to share, and I just kind of like work in private, keep my energy to myself, protect my energy, and my energy protects me. and then I shout about it when when I'm winning. But I'm winning every day.
You are. Do you know, there's one thing. Do you, with the life that you live now, which is fearless, and it's bringing and delivering to you exactly the natural flow that you want it to do, do you still have moments where you feel fear or be scared and you push through it? Or do you find now that it happens less because you're already living in this manner?
Yeah, I honestly don't fear anything. But the only thing I feared recently was, because I do like to push myself out of my comfort zone, but there's just not a huge amount of things that make me feel outside my comfort zone anymore because I've done so much. Mm. And I think when you get so used to having more in life, you're constantly searching for more all the time. And it's a great adventure to be on. But I love singing, right? But I only sing at home, you know, in the shower, around the house, whatever. Like, my mum says I'm great. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to have a singing lesson. So I went and had a lesson a few weeks ago. And it was just like me and the singing teacher. And I had to sing in front of a stranger. And doing that was so scary.
Do you feel it? Like,
I felt like, oh my God, I was so scared. I was like, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I can't believe I'm singing in front of a stranger. Anyway, I did it and I overcame the fear. And it felt so good. Yeah. And I missed that feeling. I wish there were more things that I was scared of so that I could push through. Like, because what's on the other side of fear is just this feeling of like, oh my God, I did that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't have the confidence to push through the fear. It's almost like they're sitting at home waiting for confidence to knock on the door. Like, I'll do that thing when I'm confident. It's like, no, you get confident when you do that thing. You have to push through everything. Like, life begins at the other side of fear.
Yeah, don't wait for the confidence to come to you, because doing these things, like you just said, gives that to you. You know, something that we had mentioned in the intro was that you are the CEO of a travel magazine. And, you know, I know you travel quite extensively on your own, as do I, because mostly I don't have anybody to go with. My husband, you know, is looking after our little dog, or he's working or whatever. And I think people would like to see more of the world, but they may not have anybody to go with them. Sarah, you went off and took yourself off to Africa by yourself.
I did. Yeah. When I was 23. Yeah. Off I went.
So, if, you know, for somebody that wants to travel, because I think that traveling and immersing yourself in a different culture is one of the greatest things that somebody could do. What advice would you give somebody that wants to see some of the world, but they have to go on their own?
Do it. I am such a huge advocate of solo travel. It's my preferred way to travel. Right. I can take friends, I can take my mom and my brother, but I choose a lot of the time to go by myself. I'm going to Helsinki next week to an opera. I've always wanted to go to the opera, and there's an opera festival, so I'm going there by myself. But if I waited to have someone to do things with, I would have missed out on all the flavors of life. And there's something so beautiful about being solo. You're so much more present in the moment. You don't have to speak to anyone. You can just do things on your own terms. And there's so many people that are afraid to do it by themselves, and they don't want to travel alone. And I'm like, but you live alone. Like, you're at home alone. You might as well be in another country alone. Like, what's the difference? And it's just so liberating. I've been traveling solo for so many years now that it's not even something that I shout about. I'm like, I'm just off here, I'm just doing that. It's not even a big deal. But for someone who just wants to try it, first of all, go out for dinner by yourself. A lot of people haven't done that. Mm-hmm. And it's usually because the fear of, they think everyone's looking at them and saying, look at that person on their own. But that other person's too busy thinking, oh my God, everyone's looking at me. And they think,
they're not looking at you.
They're too busy. And also, I see couples who are like out having dinner or whatever, and they're on their phones. They're not even talking to each other.
Yeah. Or like,
talking to each other. They look miserable. And I just think the loneliest people I know are in relationships. And I'm just sat in my own little love bubble, loving life, taking in the, you know, people watching, might be reading my book. I might just be staring at a space with my thoughts about my future, like anything. But start small, you know, go out for dinner first of all, then maybe book a hotel in your local area and just get used to being on your own in these public places. And then book the bloody flight and get there. Like, what are you waiting for?
Right.
Anything now is such an adventure. I mean, the people that I meet along the way, like, the conversations that I have with people, like, I was out in Bologna last week in Italy on a wellness retreat, and I was doing like different exercises every day and massage treatments and all the rest of it. And there was a guy who was in a couple of my fitness classes. Anyway, I ended up having lunch with him, and he was Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon's chief engineer, on board his £500,000 super yacht. And I was like, what are the chances of me just like hanging out with Jeff Bezos's chief engineer? Like, that would never happen. But this wouldn't happen if you were sitting at home watching freaking Coronation Street.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, that's so true.
Do you think that you naturally now surround yourself with people that have a very similar mindset to you? I'm just thinking, you know, we've talked, Lavoni, about plenty of times about surrounding yourself with people with like-minded attitudes, people that got the same desires, or, you know, because they're your support network. Not that you need to have them, but it's great, isn't it, to have people around you that have got a very similar point of view. Have you found that, or do you find that actually you still just plow your own path?
Yeah, I think it's definitely an element of both. I'm very, very selective about who I share my energy with, and I don't I because I'm so happy on my own and in my own company, unless you're going to make me happy, I'd rather be on my own. So my circle is very small. I can count my friends on my hand. I like to hang out with my mum, my brother, and I'd say 3 or 4 close friends. I even restructured my entire company at the start of this year so that people don't have access to me anymore. I don't enjoy being accessible because I realize the value of my presence, and I realize the value of my energy. And it's like, I'm not just going to give that away for free. So things like, I have my phone on silent all the time. I have notifications turned off on every single app. I don't have email notifications. I will look when I decide. I will not be at the mercy of someone else's notification. Like, your urgency will not be my emergency. So I really protect my energy in every single way possible. My phone goes off every night at 7 o'clock. I have mornings
to myself.
Like, I don't turn my phone on until I decide in the morning. By the time I'm showing up in the world, I've already had a candle lit bath and done a workout and written in my journal and like had time to visualize my future. And then I can show up in the world with a cup overflowing and serve the world from the overflow. Like, I really, you know, practice what I post.
Yeah. And that then feeds into basically you then living this fearless life of living your life.
Yeah.
That's basically ultimate.
And me just like pouring into myself and then being pure joy and happiness, which is then just attracting more and more opportunities to me. Like, one of the things that I'm really passionate about doing more of is I do want to be a global inspirational speaker. That is what I want to do. That is what I'm doing. And it's already something that I've been doing naturally over the years anyway. And it's a vision that I've had in my mind for as long as I can remember having thought. But now it's starting to get even clearer that this is what I'm supposed to do. And I kind of like said it out loud a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, yeah, I'm claiming it. I am a global inspirational speaker. I will be the number one highest paid female inspirational speaker in the world. And within 48 hours, I was booked to speak at 5 different events.
No, totally. Well done.
Yeah, like all over the world. So I massively believe in just the power of getting on that positive vibe, that positive energy, on that frequency, and then it's attracting all these opportunities to me because I don't chase, I attract.
Right. Be the flame, not the moth. That's what I say to people.
Yeah. So very briefly, would you, three top tips that you give people if they want to start to embrace this new approach of being fearless, what were the three things that you would say they've got to start with?
I think create a clear vision of who you want to be. You know, what does that fearless woman look like? Then what does that fearless woman feel like? And sit in that feeling. You know, she feels empowered, she feels sexy, she feels fearless. Like, what does it feel like? And you trick your body into that feeling, and it doesn't know whether it's really happening or whether it's happening now or in the future. And you can sit, it's like a meditation, you know, you're sitting in the feeling of abundance and joy and empowerment, and then you start to feel it, and that emits the energy from your body, which then starts to attract these things to you. But yeah, think it, your thoughts becoming things ultimately, isn't it? Sitting in the vision and being grateful for the vision before it's been realized. Like, I'm just so thankful for all these things that are coming my way. I'm so thankful for this life that I have to live. Like, a lot of people are waiting on till they receive something to be happy. You know, I'll be happy when.
Yeah.
I'll be happy when I have my husband. I'll be happy when I have this job. And it's no, you need to be happy now.
Feel it now.
Feel it now. And then that's what will attract exactly what you want towards you.
So right. So right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for agreeing to speak with us today. Such a pleasure to talk to you. Congrats on all your achievements and continued success with all your endeavors.
Watch this space.
Yes. So exciting. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Sarah, would you describe yourself as fearless?
At times, yes, but as a whole, no. And I think I would like to work on that a bit more, actually, from listening to Laura and, you know, feeling that inspiration, you know, that passion and that drive. I thought, you know what, there's loads more I can do. And more with regards to my dreams, my hopes, my ambitions for my future, rather than any regret about things that I've done in my past. I think at times in my past, I have been pretty fearless. But there's lots more I can do. And I think it's that push to believe. It's that belief, isn't it? Don't you think that's the difference, I think, that actually makes you create the action, is the belief that you can do it, or the belief it's going to happen, rather than the wish. A wish and a belief is a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. So I think I can work better at it. What about you?
Whether I think I'm fearless, I think that I am. I think one doesn't move to not just one, but that's two true. Countries without being fearless.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some may call me a bit impetuous. Is that is reckless. That the right word? Oh, ouch.
Reckless. I'm just saying, maybe. If that's what they were saying. No, maybe. I don't actually think that, because I would have done exactly the same thing, but I think other people might think that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But you know, just marrying somebody that I hadn't known for very long. I don't know. Yeah.
Let's just list it all off.
Yeah. Yes. How long do we have?
Yes.
But no, I think that I'm quite fearless because I think, you know, and I think I've always been this way. My mum always told me I could do anything I put my mind to. So I don't think she thought that moving countries would be one of those things, though.
No.
But, you know, here we are. So I've made a list of what fearless means to me, because I think it means different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
I think not going along with the general rhetoric, you know, just it's okay to think differently to other people, as long as you're not trying to shove it down people's throats. But it's all right to speak out and say, well, I don't agree, not or I don't think that. Or just in my case, I usually just try not to say anything, because people get upset and think that, you know, you have to think the same way they do. Mm-hmm. But I think being willing to start over and, you know, just move forward no matter what has happened, I think. Embracing being on your own. There's a lot of talk about how people that, you know, around people constantly live longer and it's better. And I actually quite like being on my own. I mean, you know, I guess knowing that somebody's coming home, it's all right.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right. But when I first moved to the US, I lived on a 1,300-acre ranch with me and my Mango and Finn, my two dogs. So, and, you know, it wasn't like I was in town. I was out on a ranch outside of town. And, you know, there was a mountain lion that hung about. So, you know, just being mindful of that she was there. But anyway, I just think I don't mind being on your own. And I think that it's good to be on your own and to be comfortable with being on your own.
I didn't realize quite how comfortable and all right I am with being on my own, you know, because I've got a friend who's recently found herself in a very different life situation and is spending more time on her own now. And I had forgotten that there's an adjustment period in that, because some of the emotions and sort of and fears that she's going through, I had to remind myself that that's what it's like. Because, you know, I've done it for a really, really long time. And yes, I've now got someone that I share my time with, but we don't live together. I work at home all day on my own, mostly. You know, my son's old enough now that he's out and about and about to go to university. So I spend a lot of time on my own, and I'd forgotten that I'd got comfortable with that. And actually, even way back before I got married, I lived on my own. So I've spent probably, if I look at it all, at most of my adult life living alone. And there are times when you crave that company, like you said, and because you know someone's going to come back later or you're going to see them, etc. That probably makes it a bit different, because it is, loneliness is hard. It is hard. But the whole difference between being lonely and being on your own, there's a whole different description there. So, and as we talked about with Laura, I've travelled on my own, you travel on your own. It doesn't faze me at all. It doesn't faze me. There's some things that are nice to be enjoyed with other people, but it's amazing how quickly you start to engage with other human beings when you're on your own, don't you think? You sort of talk to
definitely
people, you share things, you share a connected moment that perhaps you wouldn't have done if you were with someone else.
Yeah, and you can make some good friends that way too.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like find like-minded people.
Yeah.
I think not following trends was another thing as well. I mean, you know, you can if that's what you like, but I've never really been one to follow trends, whether they be food, fashion, makeup, hair. I like what I like, and I don't sort of think, oh, is this, you know, trendy?
Yeah.
And I know when I first moved to Canada, it was, you know, I wear a lot of black. I like black. I feel confident in it, and I just like it. I like that it's easy to match pieces together and to pack. And when I hang clothes on the line, it looks like there's a bit of a witch's coven happening. But I used to worry about that and used to think, oh, I need to get some color. And I'd buy something and then I didn't like it. So yeah. I thought, I don't care. I don't give a toss what anybody thinks. And, you know, it's the same with food. It's okay to, you know, I've seen where people might post something. There's a guy, an English guy that I follow, who's actually just lives up where my dad's from in Lincolnshire. And he posted something. He used some canned tuna, some salmon or something, and made some fish cakes. And some people really got on him about that. But I loved that he addressed that and just said, you know, it's convenient. It's often cheaper for people, whatever, you know, this tastes good. It's a bit more old fashioned. So maybe they hadn't seen that before. But, you know, oh, God, people. So to me, being fearless is not giving a shit what anybody says, because everybody has a friggin' opinion these days. So just, you know, like being confident in what you love, really, and living your life like that, I think, not having to get reassurance from anybody. I think that's quite fearless, don't you?
I do.
And I think learning something new is fearless, like Sarah with the bread making and pottery. I'm like, God, that's awesome.
Check me out.
Yeah, right. But people may not consider that as being fearless. But if it's something that you don't know how to do and you go out and you do it, I think that.
And the other thing was, you know, it never even occurred to me, but I was talking to someone else the other day and they were running some workshops themselves, and they sort of said, oh, not many people come on their own. And I was like, really? I do most of the things that I want to go and do, I do on my own.
Right.
Like, I'll just sign myself up and go. And it never occurred to me that people have a fear about turning up and going into a crowded place on their own. And so that's another thing. I think it all pairs back to that self-belief, that self-confidence, the self-love. If you love yourself enough to be who you really are, all of a sudden, that next step is a bit easier, isn't it? I'm not saying you don't have to dig deep occasionally, but if you like yourself enough to think, when I walk into a room, I've got something to add, that's all it is. That's enough. And then you can then go and do these things anyway.
Yeah. And doing, I mean, you know, some people might go little bit by little bit, and doing something like you just said, go and take a course and or a class on something and go by yourself, because often other people don't want to, or they don't have the money to do that, you know, the inclination, whatever. And I mean, it's a great way to meet people, isn't it?
I think you actually focus a lot more when you just go on your own as well, don't you think? Because you're just focusing on what the actual event is rather than chatting amongst yourselves.
And, you know, often if you go with somebody, then you don't meet other people. Maybe you don't want to do that. But anyway, so that's a good way to sort of start into the whole fearless thing, isn't it? What else did I have? Oh, I think also leaving a relationship, whether it's a marriage or a friendship, whatever, that doesn't serve you or is toxic, That's definitely being fearless, yeah. Having the, and the, you know, courageous, being brave, to do that. And you were saying about, you know, being on your own, how there's a period where it feels kind of weird. And I think that's often the time where people think, oh, I need to meet somebody else. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they can just keep going through it yeah. and have faith that they can take care of themselves, that they don't need anybody to do that, mm-hmm. And get through that period and get to the other side, they might, well, I'm sure that they will, go, you know, this is pretty good.
It's amazing how self-sufficient you can be, you know.
Oh, gosh, yes.
But not in a martyred way or not in a struggle. It's just, you just learn how to do things. And I think for me, if I'm trying to evaluate some of the things that I have, a boundary, it's like a glass ceiling. So there's some things that I think fear does stop me. So I think fear of looking foolish. So if that's like exercise, for example,
or very common
sport, I don't want to look foolish. Particularly in my younger years, because I was sort of teased and things, like, you know, whatever, that was a long, long time ago. But it does come back to make you think about it a bit. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? So, yeah, there was the fearless thing. There's the thing, there's a belief of, can that really happen to me? Mm. So it's that worthy thing. I think Laura was saying that too, that everybody is worthy of having that opportunity. But I always sort of think, but that's other people. That's almost just like a dream, that that happens to other people rather than me. And it's absolutely not true. All that happens in between that gap is putting a bit of the work in, or making it happen, or being brave enough just to get it done.
Having the confidence, yeah.
Yeah, and then, so I think there's that. And then I think there's also that I feel like I have the fear of, like, well, I haven't got enough tools, or I haven't got enough stuff that I need to make something happen. Like, I watch people do a lot of the sort of building and DIY sort of reels or videos.
Right.
I'd love to do that. I'm like, well, I haven't got this, and I'm not very good at that. I'm like, you know what?
Don't have
I know
a big electric saw. Yeah,
you just make it work. Just make it happen then, and find YouTube. Like you said, yes, yeah, smaller bits.
It's great. YouTube is a great place to find.
You can learn everything.
You can learn everything. What did we do without YouTube? Hey,
exactly.
We used to have encyclopedias and things.
Yeah, a manual.
Manuals. God. But it's so nice being, and you can put anything in the search bar and somebody has done it. And you know what? If they haven't, you go and try it. And then
you put it on.
And then you put it on there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness. So, all right. Talking about being fearless, and you saying that you want to be more fearless.
Yes.
What shall we make next week's challenge? Like,
let's,
if
make
there's something
challenge
that you've been putting off for fear of failing.
So let's say something you've been putting off, something that you fear because you don't want to look foolish, or you think that you can't do it. So what is that thing? Everyone's got that thing, don't you think?
Oh, I know what mine is.
I've got more than one probably. So if there's something that you want to try, but you don't know how to start, or you're worried that you won't be very good at it, what if? So no one excels at everything after their first try. This week's challenge is to take one thing that you've been wanting to do and to start. Stop thinking, stop planning, just get in and do it. Because what if it works out?
Yep. What if, hey?
So let's find our what ifs and get them, put them into action.
I know what mine's going to be. Do you know what yours is going to be?
I've got a few to choose from.
Okay. Yeah. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yes. Please join us next week for an episode that's titled, What's the One Change to Make Right Now? If you want to feel happier, more fulfilled, confident, and successful. This change could be the key to everything. Tuned in to find out what that is. A huge thank you to Laura again for sharing with us today what it means to be fearless. Find links to Laura's website and Instagram accounts in the show notes below. Thank you for joining us. If you head to lavoniandsarah.com, you will find posts for all past episodes and links for where you can listen to us. Don't forget, we're on YouTube now. So please go follow, subscribe, give us the old thumbs up. And maybe if you're on Instagram, search for us there, Lavoni and Sarah. Thank you for your continued support. Until next week, bye for now.
Bye.